Shogger, hey, 3-0, man. It's the worst lead in hockey, as they say. And last night, it came back and not only bit the Flames, but devoured them.
Right. By the way, is it getting your hair cut, or is it sort of more of like getting your hair managed at this point if you're Struds?
Hey, dude, like, trust me. That's what I said, man. Like, he
went when COVID's managing the situation, right?
Yeah, it's true. Well, like I said, they're so good that they make Studdy's hair look good.
I mean, I'm not really one to talk. There's not many I would make fun of or take shots at, but, like, you know, it's more managing the scenario up top than a full cut, you know. Anyway.
The Flames, you couldn't ask for a better start. And then the next 53 minutes were just a train wreck.
Yeah, for sure. It almost would have been better if they only, you know, if they only opened up a one-goal lead and continued to play the same way, you know, if a couple of those hadn't have gone in. Because I was sitting up there, and I was in the building, and it's 3-0, and I'm going, man, is there a ton of game left? There is so much time left in this game, and I've seen the way this Dallas team can be so dominant in this series. It just felt like there was so much to go. And so I don't want to lay it all at the feet of the goaltenders, because that's not fair to do, but you knew a push was coming from Dallas, and when that push comes, you got to be ready for it, you got to absorb it and push back, but you're going to need saves. And they didn't get saves when that push came, and it took the wind out of their sails, and then Ward with a real interesting decision there at 3-3, and all of a sudden the game got away from them, and because again they couldn't get saved. So it was it was a tough go for them, and that's a tough way to have your season come crashing down.
Yeah, I know, and you know, Ward explained that he was just going to take Talbot out for a brief moment, and then there was like a equipment malfunction. Was it Janet Jackson? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know, bud. Like, so this is my read on the situation. Ward makes the change. Talbot's sitting there looking at the bench. Riddick is on the bench trying to get his glove on, but can't. So he's sitting there fighting with his gear. Talbot's looking at the bench like, what am I doing here? Because he was just standing out there waiting. He was kind of left hanging out there while Riddick was trying to get ready. Finally, Talbot got frustrated and skated off the ice. Like, normally when a goalie gets pulled, the two will skate by one another and they'll touch gloves and, you know, off you go. Talbot finally said screw it and left the ice because he was kind of left hanging out there because Riddick wasn't ready. He actually walked past Riddick on the bench to go down the tunnel. So Riddick goes in. Marty Biron tweets that he's in new gear. Talbot goes down. After the game, Talbot tells us he went to the locker room to calm down because he was angry and he didn't want to bring that emotion to the bench. Then we talked to Ward, and Ward tells us that the plan was to just go right back to Talbot, but, you know, he asked where he was, and he was down the tunnel with an equipment issue. So Ward says it's an equipment issue, and he was going to go right back to him, but then he couldn't because Talbot wasn't available. Talbot says he was in the back room cooling off. The bizarre thing is, Talbot actually did come back to the bench and went and sat down eventually in the second period. So if the intention was to go back to Cam Talbot, why did he come back and sit on the end of the bench? Why didn't you go back to him? It didn't make sense. The explanations didn't make sense. Something is a little bit off there, and I'm not sure what, but it was, at the end of the day, you know, he pulled his starter and his playoff MVP to that point, pulled him for a guy that hadn't played a game in 24 days or something like that, and that was half a game. And it hurt him, quite frankly. So it wasn't a good look. It was a tough decision. I think Jeff Ward did a lot of really good things with the Flames this year, like lots of positive progress and lots of really good things. And unfortunately for him, that is what will be remembered here in the near term about his time there, you know, with the head job. And I think he's still got a really good chance to end up being the head guy there, but it's unfortunate the way that went for him.
I'm interested. You know, I know I saw some people saying, oh, Holtby's signing in Edmonton. Like, I think there's a much better chance he signs in Calgary than there is in Edmonton. Like, you look at, you know, Cam Talbot's a free agent. They got Riddick left for one season. I think it's 2.7 or something. I got to look up at his exact number. But, you know, I could see Braden Holtby, cap-wise, going to Calgary maybe before Edmonton.
Yeah, I mean, you got to see the term and dollars that can be put on the table, what the situation looks like. I mean, this is where this is where Koskinen, at the number they're paying Koskinen, bites you. Because, you know, he was okay for them in the regular season, but I don't know that he was 4.5 okay for them in the regular season. And so now you want to bring in another guy that can compete with him and push him, and you got a goalie market where there's actually some guys out there that you could maybe go and upgrade a little bit, but you're in tough to do it because you're paying your guy that's your 1B or 2A. You're paying him too much. And this is where this stings a little bit because they're not going to have a ton of space. And any space they do have, they're going to want to try and use and upgrading themselves in the, you know, on defense and in the forward ranks. So they're in a tough spot. I don't know how you're going to come up with the money to go and get one of these guys that's going to be able to really push for the starting job. Like, where's that money coming from? There's a flat cap.
Yeah, no, well, you know, they got a lot of guys on the back end that they're losing, right? So that might free up a little bit of money there, and they'll bring in young guys.
I was talking about the Oilers, not the players.
Oh, the Oilers. Well, yeah, you know, the Oilers are, and you know, it's funny, Shocker, after yesterday's comment about, you know, if the Oilers lose Adam Larson, then there's a big gap. But you know what? The Oilers did lose Adam Larson for 22 games this past season. In those 22 games, they went 13-6-3. Their penalty kill was 87.3%. And they outscored teams 46-38 at 5-on-5.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, they got some pretty exceptional goaltending in that time too, didn't they?
I will
early
look
on
up
in
the
year.
Stats.
Yeah.
I will look up the numbers.
So, yeah, the Adam Larson conversation is interesting, right? If you move him, I think there's a certain type of player you want to try and get back. So you've talked a lot about different guys, you know, Tyson Barrie would be a better puck mover, not as good a defender. I think ideally you want to find a guy that can defend decent, but be a real good efficient puck mover, right? Like, it's like another Ethan Bear, right? A guy that is decent at defending, but really deft at moving the puck. Not going to pile up the points, but just really solid for you. And I think that's the type of guy you'd like to add to your blue line if you can. Barrie would be more on the offensive side. But I think he would be breathing a lot of the same air that you'd want Evan Bouchard to be breathing if he's on the team, right? Power play, top unit, running that spot. You know, the Oilers don't really have a second power play unit, you know? And that's not talked about much, you know, in this
town. Do you think they're going to play that? Do you think they'll play this? Like, let's say your first unit is so good. Would you take them off early to play a second unit that even if they're good, they're not going to be 29% good?
No, but what you might do is you would leave your top guys out there and just swap out the D-man. So let's say you had Clefbaum and Bouchard on the team next year.
Yeah.
You would
a lot of times
Oscar
Clef
start.
And Nurse kind of switched, though, didn't they? A little bit?
It was mostly Clefbaum for the most part. The guy who would switch halfway through would be Neil for Chiasson or Yamamoto. That forward, and then the odd time they would move, Clefbaum would change. They would try and give Nurse a little bit of time there. But I think the way that this decor is heading, that, you know, the days of Darnell Nurse getting much of a look on the power play, I think are going to be out the window. I think Ethan Bear is passing him in terms of a playmaking, you know, guy that potentially could run a power play. I think Evan Bouchard is coming. I think Oscar Clefbaum has already proven he's better at it. And if you're talking about bringing in another guy, whether it's a Barrie or whoever, you know, I think, you know, Darnell Nurse is a good decent point producing 5-on-5 guy and a good defender. I'm not sure that there's going to be a look for him on a power play, you know, moving forward. I just think they've got other guys that are being brought in and groomed to do that. But Larson is an interesting one, right? Because if you can move Russell and you free up some money there, and then there's a hockey trade for Adam Larson that you can, you know, maybe you address something up front, right? Maybe there's a deal for Larson that gives, you know, puts you in the mix for a third line center or somebody who could play in and around that range. And then you take Larson's money. Maybe it didn't bring as much back in the Larson trade, and now you've got some money to go sign somebody to try and actually improve your blue line. You know, but that leaves you with a Jones-Bouchard third pairing, and, you know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do on the blue line. Like, you know, maybe they surprise somebody and make a trade that we're not expecting. Right, like you mentioned, you probably don't want Bouchard and Jones together. What if there's a market for Caleb Jones? right? What if all of a sudden you're trading Caleb Jones, you know, and, you know, you sign a veteran defender or something because you want to play Bouchard more 5-on-5? Like, I think, you know, and the other thing is, I know Ken Holland had said, hey, Broberg, they want him to play in Sweden. He admitted that they're going to reevaluate whenever training camp begins.
Yeah.
And depending on how he's playing, they might bring him over, but also depending on who they have on their roster.
Yeah, and that's been my understanding all along, was that the option would be there for him to stay, but he would always
have the option
there of coming back.
Yeah, but Ken had said originally that the plan was, he goes, I just wanted to play there and then come over at the end of the season. But
right,
that was before
he
came to camp.
Exactly, and showed him where he was at, and they went, oh, okay. But I do know when there was talk of him coming over to be in the bubble, that at that point the vision was he would come be in the bubble, then he would go back, and he would play there with an out to potentially come back and compete at training camp. So we'll just see how he does, and we'll see what they decide. We'll see what kind of moves that they make. I think if you trade Caleb Jones, now you're in tough to move Russell, because you're getting a little bit thin over on the left side to be able to, especially if you want to bring Bouchard in. Like, Caleb Jones is the minimum level of experience I would have back there if you're pairing him with Evan Bouchard. You're going to be in trouble on the road with Bouchard. You're going to run into trouble in some tough matchups. He's going to get thrown into the fire against some of the best players in the world. And, you know, whether it's smart or not to have him in the NHL learning those lessons, we're going to watch him learn to defend on the fly if he's part of it. And we'll see how he does. You know, he was a high draft pick, high pedigree. Great puck mover, offensive upside, can run a power play. The question is, when you've got the other team's top two lines bearing down on you in a 2-1 game in the third period, do you have the sense of urgency and the ability to defend? And that's what Evan Bouchard needs to show he can, you know, be heading towards having. And whether he can show up with that after a long career in the American League, or whether he needs to learn that in the NHL, I'm not sure.
Shogger, who do you like in Game 6 tonight?
Yeah, interesting, hey? I don't know the Blues will go quietly. I just, it's too good a group. There's too much veteran presence, veteran poise. The only thing that might cause them trouble is the goaltending. So I'm going to say that they're hurtling towards a Game 7.
Ooh, which would be interesting because Game 1, the NHL confirms Dallas and Colorado are going to play Saturday regardless. So
yeah, isn't that weird?
There'll be a Game 1. Now, that's happened before, if I recall, in seven-game series, and I get why, right? Like, you know, there's no travel here in the bubble. It's a Saturday night. You probably don't want, a Saturday for the NHL for fans. People can watch it. You don't want it dark. So I understand why they're going with the game.
What are they doing, an 11 o'clock Mountain Time, 11 p.m. Mountain Time?
Probably.
Start?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know what? You want to have the game on, but you don't want to have it where you can have more people watching.
God forbid. 11:45 p.m. puck drop. Anthem's at 11:45.
Yeah.
Oh, anyways, whatever. It is what it is.
Shogger, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, pal. Good to talk to you.